I am feeling a tremendous amount of joy and gratitude to have the opportunity today to be in this space and visiting with Grace Bubeck. Grace, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate this. It means a lot.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely, absolutely. To start out the conversation, what I would like to do is I tend to start a little bit general. So what I would like to ask you, if I could, is what your journey, your inner journey, or what you might call a spiritual journey. I know there's different ways of referencing this. If I could ask you what that and the work that you do with clients, or how that informs the work you do with clients, what that journey means to you at a deeper level.
Okay, well, that's a huge question.
Yeah, sorry. I've been trying not to ask it for years, and it just seems like it's the only what it's the one question that I actually do ask regularly, which I
Yeah,
try
so
not
let's
to.
see how we can unwrap the answer.
Yeah.
My own spiritual quest started really kind of accidentally because I was totally stressed out and I really didn't know what to do anymore. I was in psychotherapy, but that didn't seem to help very much, seemingly, because sometimes in psychotherapy you get into crisis before you move out. So I discovered at the time there were still flyers. I discovered a flyer for a meditation course. And so I did that. And the first time I meditated, I went into bliss. And that got me hooked. And so for a while, for a few years, I was in a Buddhist context, meditating and doing retreats and really having the benefit. Feeling the benefit of that. And took me a while to get into the spiritual, to open to the spiritual aspect of this experience, because at the time I was very anti-spiritual.
Yeah.
I was very political. I wanted to change the world. I didn't want to, I thought religion was the opium of the masses. So it took me a while to really kind of open to that. And what opened that window for me was the way Buddhism talks about the psyche and what happens in the psyche. Because I felt that was very true. They really understood the psyche in a way that I never understood it when I studied psychology. So that to me was like a real kind of draw to get more into this and to also open to the more explicitly spiritual aspects of Buddhism. And then, to cut a long story short, I came to North America and I didn't find a Buddhist sangha that I felt drawn to and comfortable in. And so, for a long time, I was just practicing by myself. And kind of opening back up to my Christian roots. I'd met a monk, what's the name of him? Damn, it's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, there's still monasteries in Quebec. And so he was in Cistercian, a Cistercian monastery. And he was a real he was a natural kind of, he was naturally spiritual, not just religious. And so I had really good kind of exchanges with him. And So somehow I was able to, in all of this, kind of start opening back up to my Christian roots, but without really embracing them again. It's just that I could see that there were strands to Christianity, the more esoteric strands, the more contemplative strands that I had no idea about because, my background was Protestantism, reading the Bible, interpreting the Bible. That was what my parents were all about. So, there was nothing contemplative about that, nothing mystical, nothing, that goes beyond the word because the word was so important. So that kind of made me realize that, there was something in Christianity that I totally missed out on, and that I could recognize as being germane to what was interesting me now, what I had opened to spiritually. So that was a real kind of homecoming for me, in a way.
Yeah.
And then my path also included, because at the time I really didn't have a teacher. And so through yoga and chanting, what happened was that Shivananda kind of appeared to me, from Shivananda Yoga.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of just became present in my mental horizon and was a teacher for a while. In a way, it's like he was just a very loving, kind presence that I could feel, and that taught me the essence of what that was. It's like when it's represented by a being, you kind of get it in a different way, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he was one of my teachers. But I reached a point where I really felt I needed a teacher, a real teacher in the flesh, so to speak. And I'd never actually trusted any human being to be a teacher because, it's a big thing. It's huge, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
But I felt that need. And so, again, through a few detours, my teacher came into my life, Gangaji.
Oh, yeah.
And so that for me was really something clicked there. I just fell in love with her. I fell in love with whatever it was that was happening in those satsangs, whatever it was that she represented and she embodied in her conversations with people who came up to speak to her. There was just something that felt like, ah, finally I've come home.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah.
And I loved this so much. I mean, for a few years I would go to every retreat I could afford to go to, because at the time you still had to travel, right?
Oh, yeah.
This was before the internet was full of YouTube. So, I listened to, like, at the beginning, I listened to tapes, and then I listened to DVDs, no, CDs.
Yeah.
And then, they had a subscription to monthly DVDs. So I could actually watch, and this was like wonderful for me.
That really changed the game, didn't it? Just being able to see that and see.
So all of this was years in the making, and And I would say, it's very interesting because so many non-dual teachers start about awakening, talk about awakening in a sense that's more about realization than about heart opening. And for me, primarily at that time, it was a heart opening. It was a revelation of love. And that had been there before, but it was there in a much stronger way when I met Gangaji. I was like, the opening was so much more powerful and so much deeper. And so for me, the opening into love came before the opening into self.
Very interesting. Yes.
Like for a while, I was just basking in this, revelation of love. And it was beautiful, and it was heart opening, and it was life-changing in so many ways, because it's like it calls you also to live that. And of course, then there's all the personal habits that stand in the way of that.
That definitely, absolutely, yes.
All the stuff we get up to that's not very loving at all. So I'm not very heart open. But I also heard the deeper invitation into the realization of the self. But for me, that took a few more years of, just listening, reading, doing self-inquiry at some point, very, very kind of pointedly. Because I really wanted to get it. I finally wanted to get it. There was something I knew that hadn't quite landed. So that inquiry, I would say came very gradually, that opening into self, into the, just the spaciousness of self, the truth of self. So, yeah, I would say that was my path.
Yes, I really honor that too, and I was going to ask you. Now I'm open to being incorrect. Am I understanding correctly that in your earlier years, as far as your career, that you worked in academia? I didn't know if I understood that correctly.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked this is I was wondering, was there any? And I'm, clearly this is just a comes from a not knowing. Did you find that as you experienced that love and that heart opening? Did that sort of short circuit some of the and there again, I don't want to make any assumptions, but in terms of approaching life intellectually or scientifically, anything that you might share just about that, in terms of what if and what that was like for you?
It's a good question, and the timelines are quite different. I mean, my time in academia was really a time of, how should I say that? It's almost like in my life, I needed to come to the absolute limits of the mind before I could get let go of it, because I was so in
Interesting.
love with thinking. When I was teaching political philosophy, so I could talk about thinking and ideas and arguments, and all of that. I just loved it. But my life was a mess. And I was very depressed as a teenager. I mean, I was really struggling. And, thinking was my way out of all of that mess. So for a while, as a temporary escape, that worked pretty well. But it didn't allow me to get my life in any shape that was actually good and not stressful and not painful. So that's why when I was in, when I started teaching, I realized I had to do psychotherapy because I was just not coping with things. There was the stress from academia, a lot of pressure to publish. Or at the beginning, finish my PhD and then publish, and I was in a relationship that was stressful for me. So I ended up in psychotherapy, and that's what led to the crisis of, God, I don't know what I'm doing here anymore, but something's got to change. And that's when I started meditating. So it's really the stressfulness of my life then that led to meditation. And the kind of, I was in psychotherapy for 9 years. I was pretty messed up. So slowly over time, discovering that there was a better way of living that wasn't just escaping into the mind, also made me realize that actually I was done with the life of the mind. I wasn't, I lost my enthusiasm for it. And I would say that was a good thing, because I discovered that you can live with more than just your head and your mind.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
So at that point, I started looking for what else I could do. And in the end, I became a massage therapist and, moved to North America and started my new life there. And that's when the spiritual kind of opening happened much more deeply also.
Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that. And I'm wondering, as far as that in continued opening or ever increasing spiritual opening, I'm wondering the work that you were doing with clients, if there was any sort of a feedback loop. In other words, whatever you were experiencing as a result of working with people and being with them, however they presented themselves to you, if some of those things informed your continued opening.
Well, it's interesting. I think as a therapist, you tend to attract clients that make you grow, that take you to the edge of what you're capable of dealing with and encompassing for them. So, as a massage therapist, what happened is that I kept intuitively sensing what was going on for people at an emotional level. So my growing at the time was still integrating the emotions into my own life, getting out of my mind, really. So that became part of my work. And very quickly, I moved more into kind of energetic ways of working with people. And the emotional component became part of that very quickly. And from there, I moved to basically more into counseling and psychotherapy. Because I realized, that seemed to be where more of my strength was lying, and also my interest. So I kept moving, And then from working mostly emotionally, I integrated the spiritual aspect into that work. So now I mostly do spiritual mentoring.
Yes, and in
It's
fact, I was going to ask you. I had seen, unless I misread this, it's something that spoke to me. I don't know if there's anything there, so to speak. But when I was reading about your work, that it was referred to as, or you referred to it as body mind work, and so I wanted to know
That's an
if there's any
old,
special significance there for you for
yeah,
that.
no, that's a very old expression, you know. I mean,
Oh,
my
okay.
website is like 12 years old now,
Oh, okay.
and I should really revise it because it's no longer that, you know. That
Oh, okay.
dates back to a time when I was still doing energy work and body work combined with the emotions and the kind of mental aspects. I
Yeah.
don't do that anymore like that.
In fact, and I'm wondering if maybe it was one of those things that came into my consciousness. I'm wondering if there's anything there in terms of anything you might speak to about what it was like for you to transition from, living in the mind to actually working with people and feeling their energy and being able to mediate that. I don't know if I'm using the right word or not, but anything that you could speak to in terms of how that informed your continued opening.
You know, I guess the expression body mind, it really refers to a time in my life when I was transitioning from mind to body
Ah,
and
yeah.
integrating more into my life, you know, emotionally and also physically. That's when I was working mainly as a massage therapist and energy healer. But then at some point, you know, moving into the more subtle energies and the emotional and mental and spiritual kind of aspect of people's lives. At that point, I mainly left the body behind because I could see that the same kind of energetic shifts were possible in people without my actually working on them physically. You know, they were possible as I was just talking to them. So that's when I really stopped working physically.
Yeah, was there a definite decision, or is that just something that just kind of it was that something that just evolved on its own and
It
you
just
followed that, or?
evolved. You know, my sense is that when you're on a journey yourself, you know, and your work is part of that journey, it will keep evolving as you go along. Because it has to, you know, it can't stay the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to ask too, just in terms of what it was like to start, to start spiritual mentoring and what that was like for you in terms of what that, what that experience was like working with people on that level and in the beginning.
Well, you know, all these openings then also come very gradually and very organically. Like, you know, I found that the people who are attracted to me as clients actually were already open spiritually. So some of the emotional work we did included spiritual aspects and questions. And sometimes they would ask openly spiritual questions because they knew I was, you know, very open spiritually. So it's like these things just evolve very gradually. And, you know, at some point you kind of name them on the website, but they're already happening. So it's like, more just kind of naming things as you go along and trusting that that goes in the right direction. I mean, how could it not?
Yes, and I really do honor your openness to that. It's interesting. This is something I had never thought about before, but in terms of, websites and all of the information that we share with the world, looking at that sort of like in possibly, I don't know if this would be an apt metaphor for this. In other words, like kind of like an archaeological sort of, in other words, there's these various strata of just, the layers of, as we're, in this case, I get the sense that it's more about shedding those layers than it is taking those on. But yet at the same time, it is this sort of, it's almost like looking back, like a map, so to speak, as you go along different points on the journey. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, it's like, you can use different images. You could say it's going deeper into oneself, the truth of oneself. And so the more superficial layers are shed. Or you could say it's and ultimately I would say that's like maybe the image I like better. It's an opening up into and including more and more of the different layers and aspects of the human experience. One of them being the body, one of them being the emotions, one of them being the mind, and one of them being way beyond that. So it's like, there's this, I would say for me, it's like an increasing opening to this reality that is so vast, and that includes absolutely everything.
I'm wondering too what it has been like for you just in terms of your own identity, or as you've shed some parts of that identity, what that's been like for you, just getting a sense of, your own relationship with who you see yourself as, and or in some cases, ways that you saw yourself that you no longer do. Just anything that you might speak to just about your own conception of yourself.
Yeah, well, I definitely feel like the first part of my life that I led mostly in the mind, that feels like almost like a different life. Because it's really no longer where I live these days. Although I still love finding out things and thinking about things and understanding, and but it's at such a different level. It's an interesting question. I'm just coming to the point. I'm turning 65 this summer, and I'm coming to the point of embracing retiring. And that's an interesting one, spiritually and mentally, because for some reason, I always had the idea that I would work way beyond retirement age, because I was so full of this wonder of life and healing and spiritual life that I just wanted to share that, and I thought that would never stop. And this devotion to helping others heal and grow spiritually and, kind of awaken to their self, their true self, awaken to love. I mean, that devotion seemed so true and so deeply true and felt that I couldn't see myself ever not feeling that. But the interesting thing is that I find I'm wanting to let go of the role of teacher, and I'm wanting to let go of the role of therapist. So really, I'm ready to retire.
Very interesting. Yeah.
And that I didn't see coming. And as I was sitting with that over the last few weeks and months, I could, it's like I could see I have an investment in that. Like, that it's just like that is part of the journey that you come to see also. The layers upon layers and upon layers of conditioning and attachments and investments that you have in certain things in your life, certain activities, and being of use or being helpful was definitely one of my deepest attachments. And who knows, maybe there's still deeper ones. I have no idea. I'll
Yeah.
only see once I hit upon them. Once I'm kind of really pointed to them through however life unfolds. But it's like I find this process of it's like when you're devoted to truth, it's like you have to be truthful with yourself all the way at all levels. And somehow, it means you can't stay in a place of denying what's true for yourself for very long. You may not want to accept that. You may not like this. You may not ever have thought that that's true for you, but here it is. So what do you do with that? Well, it's like that's how life and truth and love unfold for you. So that's how it is.
Yes, that is. I'm so glad you've mentioned that because that really does resonate. Because I know that as humans, sometimes if we don't have a plan or we're not sure what's next, it's living with that uncertainty. Or and I'm not assuming how you're feeling at all, but just that whole part of being human, not necessarily knowing what's ahead, and the newness of that and the quiet. And finding where we come face to face with ourselves in a different way. I don't know if this resonates.
Yeah, that's I mean, I guess for myself, that's something that I'm no longer really afraid of, because I've come to trust this unfolding so much that even if I have no idea what this is going to be like, this life after retirement. It's like I trust it'll be just perfect because that's what I'm coming to. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy, because also it is part of that journey to really. It's like your nose keeps being put into things that you'd rather not see.
I'm laughing from experiencing that, yeah.
But here it is. And you just gotta do your best, right?
Yeah, I get a sense too, when you're speaking about that, just, trusting and being open to, what is showing itself and following where it leads, that this has been a large part of your life, and I really appreciate all that you've shared, that I get a sense this is not the first time that you have the chapter, a new chapter starts getting written, that when you left academia and began to do the work that you've been doing for years. that this is something that's not unfamiliar to you, that yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every time I was letting go of doing something, like, when I was letting go of doing massage, somehow I had this idea that massage was going to earn me my money. So when I felt like, I wasn't really into that anymore, it was scary because I thought, well, maybe I'm not going to earn a living. But as it turned out, of course, it wasn't the case, but that was the fear.
Yeah.
And so every time my professional life shifted, morphed into something else, there was always fear there. But when you experience that so many times, and then you realize that these shifts are just what needs to happen. And, they're always fine. And they always lead you to exactly where you need to be at that point. So it's like at some point you're no longer afraid.
Yeah. And I get a sense too that had this journey not gone the way it had gone, I'm wondering too, and there again, it may not make sense to even look at this, what this would have been like for you had you pursued the path that you were on originally, and not gone through the evolution that you have and the openings that you have, and finding yourself at a fork in the road, so to speak, what that would have been like. So I really did want to honor all of the work that you have done, and the opening that has taken place, and that you've allowed that, so to speak, and
Definitely.
danced
No,
with it, or cooperated with
I really didn't have a choice.
it. Yes,
And
yes.
if people are truthful with themselves, they know where they need to go. They know they don't have a choice. But for sure, at the beginning, when we don't know this so well and so intimately, it's not so trustworthy, and we may hold on to old stuff for longer because we're just too afraid to make that step. But over time, it becomes more and more easy,
Yes, it is, and
because
that is be it's beautiful, isn't it, that there, as you say, that at
yeah,
some
because
point
it
there's
is
no choices
totally
to make.
trustworthy, I
Yeah.
mean, life is trustworthy. It's just that if we stay in the fear of it, then for sure we won't experience how trustworthy it is.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. As you were speaking about retirement, I and there again, I can't remember the word exactly, but I understand. And I don't know if this is the case for all the Hindus in India, but I understand that there is, I think it's called the ashrama system. I could be completely wrong about that, but that you go through different stages of your life. You're a householder for a period of time, and then you have a family, and you have a business, or you work, and then I think is at age 60. And I could be wrong about that
I
too,
think
but
it's
there.
at age 50.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah. But then, I don't know. I mean, that may also change with, the increasing lifespan that we have.
Oh
I
yeah.
think
Yeah.
traditionally it's at age 50 that people
Very
go
interesting. Very
off
interesting.
life and, devote themselves to the inner life.
Yeah. And I just think about, being at the precipice of that, and the opportunities, and also, as you're speaking about possibly the fear and or uncertainty. But yeah, that is, yeah. And to me, that's just, I find that really moving to think about just letting go of some of these things that made us feel normal, or had some sense of purpose, to open ourselves up to something completely different. Yeah.
And in the West, it's different because we're expected to work into our 60s. And increasingly, the pension I get from the UK from my years there, I only get at age 66.
Oh,
And
yes.
if I were younger, it would increase to age 67.
Yeah.
So, increasingly, pensions are only available at a later age. And increasingly, people are not able to stop working because their pensions wouldn't be big enough. So, it's a very different reality. And I do find that sad because that pull into more of the inner life, it gets stronger as we age.
Yes.
And
I'm so glad you brought that up. Yes.
I'm privileged to be able to follow that. And to have been able in my life, because I lived the way I did, it's like somehow I could follow that pull when it arose. And life somehow sustained me in that over time. And maybe it sustained me because I felt I could do no other. It's hard to tell, some lives are so different,
Yes.
but for my own life, I would guess for most people, if they feel that call that strongly, there'll be a way of following it.
Yes, I'm so, and that is so reassuring because I know that, and I'm wondering too if somehow, and I don't know if there can be an answer to this. It just seems to be coming up intuitively. This hu you know, as humans, there is, so much that is in terms of purpose. And yet I wonder what happens. And that's why I'm, as you're speaking about this, I'm wondering, is there possibly another purpose, but beyond the purpose that we have felt compelled to honor and to fulfill, during our working lives?
No, Jeff, I think they're so lives are so different. I have two sisters and none of them has felt that pull. One of them is very worldly. She has no interest in spirituality whatsoever. And the other one is more open, but really, she's more the emotional type. She's a psychologist, and that's where her interest lies. It's not so much spiritual either. So it's like even within my own family, we're three very different people from the same very Christian background. So it's like, well, then you look at everybody else in the world. I mean, there's just lives are so very individual. And some lives are not there to be spiritual lives, Somebody's got to be prime minister or,
I'm gonna write that one down. That's perfect. That's perfect. Yes.
I mean, if they followed their pull to an inner life, they wouldn't be prime minister, do you see?
Yeah.
So it's like, for life to go on as it does, not everybody can follow that pull. Somebody's got to be, making food for people or, be a doctor or be a nurse. Or, I mean, there's just people are needed in so many ways. And
Yes.
so some people will feel the pull to be that. Open a restaurant, be a doctor, throw themselves into political life.
Yeah, I love that. Somebody has to be prime minister. That is that absolutely, that speaks volumes. It really does. Because that in terms of honoring the our own humanness and what, what our true north is, so to speak. And yeah. And being able to listen to, being willing to listen to that and hear that.
I mean, my views of how spirituality comes into people's lives, it's like they've really changed to accommodate like all sorts of possibilities. Like, it may be they are kind of marginally, but not very strongly, or maybe there, and it may be a real interest, but somehow, This nurse is still continuing to be a nurse. She's just a very kind nurse. And thank God we have nurses like that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know? I mean, we wouldn't want her to stop or him and follow the spiritual path because, you'd have lost a really good nurse.
Yes. Everybody honoring their what it is they're here for. Yeah, being able to hear that.
And I trust that if somebody says, well, I'm a nurse, I'll that's my life's calling. Perfect. Who am I to question that?
Yeah. I get a sense that that is maybe one of the most important lessons that being able to hear, what it is that we're called to do, and that, and without making any assumptions about what we sh quote unquote should be doing.
Yes, and without second guessing that, not from the inside and not from the outside either. The sister, my sister, doesn't have any spiritual interests. See, she's a teacher. She's always been a teacher. She can't help being a teacher. It's like that's her calling. That's what makes her life full and meaningful. So perfect because there need to be teachers.
Absolutely. And just being able to, I guess, I don't know if this makes sense, learning to be human, being fully
Yes.
human. I've heard that phrase before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some
I
humans are very limited, in terms of their range of, what their humanity includes. I mean, some are very poor and spirit and or poor in heart. But there's people like that.
It include I get the sense that it includes it all, doesn't it? I've heard that phrase before, that just all that is, that it includes all of this. And
Yeah.
yeah, and
I mean,
I know it's
absolutely.
easy to say it. It's quite a different thing to be at peace with it and live with it and dance with it, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not given to everybody in this lifetime to discover everything there's to discover. And I have a lot of respect for that. They'll discover it eventually.
Yes, in due time, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so glad. I want to tell you, I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to be speaking with you at this point in your life journey. It's been so incredibly moving to me to hear all that you've shared about that journey. And I was going to ask you, as we were coming to a conclusion, and there again, I'm open to there may not be anything else to share. Just as you look back on your years of this work and the experiences that you've had and your own evolution, anything that you might share that we haven't discussed already. And basically, I just wanted to give you a little bit of space and time if there is anything to else to share.
Well, my teacher said, trust yourself.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And what she meant was trust the self that you are, which she could translate as trust life, trust reality, just trust love, trust truth. I would put a little spin to it and just say, and yes, that's totally trustworthy too, all of that.
Yeah.
But my little spin on it would be little spin on it would be trust how that manifests for you at this point, because that's your guidance. That is where you need to be. So if you feel called to do this or become that, trust that. That's how your life is unfolding for yourself. That's the only thing that's trustworthy.
Yes, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really thank you so much for that and for all that you've shared. I don't take any of this for granted. I'm incredibly grateful that you've taken
Oh,
this time.
you're most welcome. I was happy to be asked, happy to share. And may it be helpful to whoever listens.
And I definitely get a sense that it will be. Thank you again so very much.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.